Please take your Bibles and turn to page 937. That's 937. The reading is from the book of Nahum, verses 1 to 10. An oracle concerning Nineveh, the book of the vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite. The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and maintains his wrath against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and dries it up. He makes all the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the blossoms of Lebanon fail. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, and the world and all who live in it. Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered before him. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust in him, but with an everlasting flood, he will make an end of Nineveh. He will pursue his foes into darkness. Whatever they plot against the Lord, he will bring to an end. Trouble will not come a second time. They will be entangled among thorns and drunk from their wine. They will be consumed like dry stubble. Amen.
Thank you, David. Celebrations. How are we at celebrations? Hope we all like and enjoy celebrations. When was the celebration that you have had recently? What was the celebration you have had recently? Easter? Yes? Yeah? Easter, Christmas, and these are all common celebrations that we can celebrate with the friends and families and sometimes with the church. I would like to ask now in this way. What are the occurrences in your life that you celebrate for yourselves? Personal celebrations. Waking up every morning. Good. That is a celebration. Any personal celebrations do you have on your own? Wedding anniversaries. Birthdays. Yes, birthdays, wedding anniversaries. We say wedding anniversaries. I think you would join with me in my experience. You might have needed to remind the husbands. Not the best practice is asking him, tell me what comes in 3 days' time. Don't do that. I tell you, we all will fail through this approach. So we all celebrate occasions, important occasions that have happened in our life. Other than this, I believe we don't have celebrations for our nature, personality, or character. For example, I am a nice person. Yeah, for example. So do you think for this reason, can we have a celebration for Amuda of nice? Because on the other days, I am terrible. So we need to change the celebration to Amuda of terrible. Be human, always change, because it is our nature. Even depending upon the weather outside, our personality changes. So we cannot have any particular celebration for our inconsistent nature. But God is unchanging. In Numbers 23, it says, God is not a human, for he should change his mind. So when we celebrate God, we can celebrate for his nature, for who he is. Have you celebrated God recently? What do you mean by celebrating God? Being in his presence and involving ourselves in his existence. We cannot call this as a prayer, because if we say prayer, then we will immediately get ready with a list of wants and wishes to load upon him. As a church, we are celebrating this year with the theme, Celebrate God. And based on the verse from Philippians 4:4, celebrate God all day, every day. Revel in him. For the past 4 months, every Sunday, we have been celebrating God. We celebrate God for his different nature, for his different awesomeness. Do you remember the things we celebrate? We celebrated God of grace, God of glory, God of maker, God of all comfort, God of mystery and paradox, God of heaven and earth, God of love and peace, God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, God of my life, and so on. The list never ends. We are celebrating God for his nature. This morning, we are going to celebrate an unimaginable, an incredible nature of God. Do you want to give a guess? What could be that celebration about? I can give you a hint. Have you read, maybe Balaji should not answer this. Have you read the community sheet or the notices, and not Chris as well, and the notices of this week, or checked in the website, no Binu? Have you read that? There is a clue in that. We are going to celebrate God for that nature today. Any guesses? We are going to celebrate God for his jealous and avenging nature. On seeing this title, we would be thinking, what? Does it not sound something negative? Is that the nature that can be celebrated? This morning, we are going to meditate and celebrate God for his jealous and avenging nature. Jealous, let us start with that. It is feeling or showing an envious resentment of someone or their achievements, possessions, or perceived advantages. How are we at jealous? Are we jealous of someone? Are we jealous about what they possess? Are we jealous about their achievements or skills? I am not jealous about other people's beauty. It is not that because I'm already beautiful. There should be a logic. There should be a logic in everything. We feel jealous for things that can be reachable, or it should be within the measurement range. If it is going beyond our approach, it is better to leave that. And that is my beauty range. Jealous. God's jealous is a divine jealous. It is entirely different and completely a contrast to human jealous. He is supreme and awesome, and he possesses everything. He created the heaven and the earth, and the whole heaven, earth, and every creations are in his hands. He owns the whole creation. Nothing is beyond his reach. Everything is under his control. He does not need to be suspicious, distressed, or envious about what others have. In his created world, there won't be anything that he wishes to have. He wants everything. Nahum chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "The Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and vents his wrath against his enemies." This book of Nahum can be called part 2 of Jonah or part 2 of Nineveh. And this beginning verse in Nahum, it forms a bridge or link between the book of Jonah and the book of Nahum. God is jealous for two reasons. God is jealous for his people, and he is jealous for his own glory. The first part, jealous, you can say that it will be reflected from the book of Jonah. And the second part, avenging, it can be reflected from the book of Nahum. God is jealous. He has been jealous for the people of Nineveh. In his jealous, he has taken greater efforts in driving the prophet from the opposite direction and allowing him in the meantime of his travel to learn about God. And even after the prophet reached Nineveh, God had to work more with that rebellious prophet to let him know God's love for Ninevites. His work didn't stop by pushing Jonah alone. He worked from the other side as well. He worked from the side of the Ninevites, and he was allowing the Ninevites to realize God's love for them. God was watching them when they were mourning. God was with them when they were fasting and praying. God was among them when they were asking for repentance. God, in his jealous, he forgave them. He accepted their repentance and he forgave them. God is not only jealous for Ninevites, but also for us, the whole of his creation. In his salvation scheme, he is keen in embracing us. He does not want us to be snatched by any other forces. He is jealous for us. He wants us to be protected and be in safe. In our life, he uses medium like Jonah in bringing us closer to him. In my case, the word of God. It was the medium he used. Through that word of God, I realize who God is. If I ask you all, you would come up with different mediums you have experienced in your salvation entry. Some might say that, yes, I listened to the testimonies and my heart was overwhelmed. I committed my life to Christ. And some might say that, yes, prophet like Jonah came to me and he told me, even though 8 words he mentioned, I was convinced. So I committed my life to Christ. Many mediums God uses in bringing us closer to him. And also, from our side, he kindles within our heart. He talks to us personally. He allows us to recognize who God is. And at the end, the freedom is given to us to choose whether to go to God or whether to leave or go astray from Him. We are living in the period of grace. That is the thing we can see in the people of Ninevites. Ninevites, they sinned. They realized their mistake. They went to God. They prayed. They repented for their sins. God, in His jealousy, He forgave them. We are also living in the same period of grace. In this period, if we realize something that is going wrong in our life, it is better to mend it first. It is better to go back to God and ask for His repentance. He is gracious to forgive because we are in the period of grace. We need to repent for our sins. We need to first identify whether there is sin in our life or not. Then we need to go and plead to God. Every day can be a repentance day, because with knowing and without knowing, we are filled with the full of sins and failures. God is looking for us, whether we are coming unto Him with a heart of repentance. And God, in His jealousy, the jealousy comes because of His love for us. And in His jealousy, He embraces. He forgets about all our iniquities. He forgets about all our failures. He does not remember that anymore. And He loves us. Is it not a wonderful thing to celebrate God for His jealousy? Shall we say that together in the red line at the bottom? We celebrate You, Lord, for You are being jealous for us. God is jealous not only for His people, for His own glory. We see in Exodus, "You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above, or on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord of your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the parents to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments." Where does it come from in the Bible? Don't say that Exodus 24 to 6. It is the second commandment of the Ten Commandments. When the Lord brought the Israelites from their slavery from Egypt, and then He gave these commandments to them. You can see the beautiful order that God always maintained. He brought them out, He saved them first, and then He gave the commandments. Similarly, in our life, He will allow us to learn Him first, to know Him first, and then He will ask us to follow His path. He will ask us to walk in His ways. It is similar to the fellowship and discipleship we have. Fellowship, it is nothing but constructing the foundation of a building. We are all in fellowship with God. That's why we are here on Sunday, celebrating God every day, fellowship with one another. It's a glorious thing. And it will be announced publicly when we confess for our sins and share our testimonies and taking the baptism here. There we paved the foundation. That is the fellowship. The fellowship has started already. If not in any of your cases, please come and approach Richard or myself. We will help you how to start the fellowship with the Lord. That is very important. It is better to be done in the period of grace. Once the building, the construction, the basement has been made, it is not ending with that. We need to finish the building. Until we finish the construction, we need to keep ourselves closer to God. That is nothing but discipleship. Once the baptism is done, once the commitment is made, it is not ended there. We need to be disciples of Christ. We need to follow His word thoroughly, and we need to employ that in our personal life and see where we are going. Are we still closer to God, or is there anything missing out? Even in the building, after construction, we will see some cracks around. What do? Immediately we will go and fix it. Maintenance, maintaining ourselves in our spiritual life, that is the discipleship. We need to commit some way in doing something to the church, and through that, our commitment will get strengthened. If you are not yet in the prayer partner scheme, you can approach Ruth and Brian. It will be good to pray for one another. If you are not being a part of any house groups, midweek house groups, you can go and approach the house group leaders, and we can do some commitment. And through that commitment, our discipleship will be strengthened. God is jealous for His own glory. He will not allow His glory to be shared with any other things. Idolatry is disgusting before His eyes. It is worshipping other gods or worshipping things that replace God. We may be saying, I am not behind money. I am not after position or possession. We may be saying that. But ask two questions to yourself and examine yourselves. Where you are? What are the thoughts that are going in our mind mostly? If there is a thought always about our children, our children's future, or my promotion, or doing something other than God, what are the thoughts that are going in our mind mostly? And the second question is, where do we find our interest in spending most of our time? I was doing a journaling for the past 1.5 years. I do keep a journal in seeing what everything is going, everyday purpose, and one for spiritual purpose. Everyday purpose, when I read back after 6 months, I found out where it was. It was everything about church, activity, people, and all those things. It is good. It is good for God's ministry. But there was nothing mentioning about personal relationship with God. That is what God wants. Even though if it is a God's ministry, even though if you are doing something for God, He is interested, but above all, He is interested in having a personal relationship with us. How much time we are spending about God in His presence? Prayers, okay, we can do humpty number of lists we have, but just being in His presence, meditating about His nature, giving Him praises and thanksgiving, He deserves that. He does not want to share that with anyone. God's commandments are always strong and authoritative. There is no other verdict other than His commandments. If you read this, you will find, you shall not, thou shall not, you shall not. It is just opposite to our worldly laws. The worldly law says, if you cross above the speed, you will be punished. If you cross the fence, you will be prosecuted. If you do this, then you will. But God's commandments, you shall not, thou shall not, that's it. He does not need to discuss with us for the decrees and the commandments that He is framing for us. God is jealous. When someone is taking something which is rightly belongs to Him, we need to give our worship and praises to God alone. If we are giving that worship or praises to other false gods, then we are committing a grave injustice, and God's righteous jealousy will be provoked. Paul when he was writing to Corinthians church, he had that godly jealousy for that Corinthian church he founded. And he compared that with the jealousy of a bridegroom having towards his beloved. The bride has promised to give her heart to the husband. If she behaves unfaithful, then the husband will take that God's jealousy. Paul was ardent, ardent love towards the Corinthian church he has founded. But ongoing way, the Corinthians tend to distract themselves and their errors make him grieved. And he had a fear that any spiritual seducement is happening among the church through false teachers. He was having that heart, jealous heart. He was rebuking them, he was correcting them, counseling them, and encouraging them. But yet, he was receiving a word saying that the Corinthians have gone back to their original sin. So Paul was having that God's jealousy for Corinthians church. It is good for God to be jealous for us. Avenging God. When you read this verse, there are three times the word avenging, vengeance is repeating. If there is any particular verse from the Bible reiterating few words frequently, then we need to give an attention to that. God is saying something important. That's why there is recurring statements, recurring words. Vengeance. I was looking into the dictionary for the meaning, and as we all know, it was retaliating, punishing, and revenging. But I could not control my eyes rolling down to the bottom of the page, showing an antonym for the word vengeance. The antonym, the opposite word for vengeance, is forgive. The Lord has been forgiveful, and he was forgiving Ninevites. He is still forgiving us because we are in the period of grace. We don't know when the period of judgment will start. It is in his hands. Is there something to celebrate for this avenging and period of judgment? It is so scary, isn't it? But it is a warning for us. It is always to have a warning before the flood comes. People will get ready. Similar like that, it is a warning for us. Get ready, my people. You are in the period of grace. Come unto me. If you are weak and heavy laden, I am there to forgive you. I am there to embrace you. What a God of jealous we worship. It is a time to commit ourselves, having fellowship with him, continuing the discipleship. If not, he says with a warning, a vengeance period is coming. In that period, as Ninevites were going astray, as they were going back, then God had to send Nahum, the prophet, to say the words against Nineveh. God is avenging. And in his avenging nature, we can still get glory in reading this verse again. To whom he is avenging? He is avenging to the people, those who are going away from him. If we go away from him, then the vengeance is on us. Or otherwise, he is vengeance against his enemies. If we are in fellowship with God, then the enemy of ours and God will become a common one. So the common one will be defeated in his battle. He will fight for us. We need to decide whether we want to have our own enemy, or we ourselves becoming enemy to him, or we want to have a common enemy with God. You know all the principalities of air and everything around this world still fighting with us. But God is going to fight for us. He is bigger than whatever the situation around us. If you are having fellowship, If we are having continuous relationship with him, he is able to win the battle. And vengeance, it is a foretelling word. It is warning us, it is telling us how we need to keep our life closer to God. We need to celebrate God for this, isn't it? Celebrating God because he is jealous of me. We know in the worldly life, our parents would be jealous of us. They don't want us to be away for a long time. They'll always call us. They will always talk to us. That is a jealous. But in the spiritual life, if God says, I am jealous of you, what a privilege it is. What a wonderful thing to celebrate for that nature. Avenging God, yes, the warning is there. The flood is going to come. Get ready, my people. What a foretold warning. Who will receive that warning? We are privileged to receive that warning from him. Get right, get set now itself, because we are in the period of grace. And let us have a common enemy always. He is bigger in battle, and he will fight for us.